Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube. The wait is over. It is time to drop the puck on the Stanley Cup playoff. Flame Stars, round one. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and it is a, fun to say it, playoff edition of Flames Unfiltered, as we are just 2 days away from the start of the Flames Stanley Cup playoffs and just 1 day away from the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, as four games take place Monday night, four games on Tuesday night, featuring the Calgary Flames, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, as the Dallas Stars, our opponent for round one. The excitement is there. I'm super, super excited, but I'm also, super nervous too, I guess. Is that normal? I guess Flames fans, that's just the way we're geared right now, right? We've had some struggles in the playoffs. And it's time to get rid of those demons, and it's time to get past that, and we're going to do that, and hopefully this series goes good, and I'm excited. I know game days will just be, I'll be constant playoff mode the whole day, and that's okay. That's what you're supposed to do when your team's playing, right? Crazy opponent, we get the Dallas Stars. Nobody saw that coming with late night heroics. I thought it'd be the Predators. We all did. Right? I mean, Dallas gets to go against a freaking emergency goalie. They win the game, so I'm like, all right, they did their part. And then Nashville scores four of their first five shots against Arizona, and I'm like, it's done. It's done. I watched here and there through the second period. Thought, I better get some sleep. The playoffs are coming ahead. We got to know who our opponent is now. I did some graphics for the podcast and with Predators logos and whatnot, and crawled into bed and shut the lights out and woke up in the morning and looked at the thing. I thought, what? Flipped over to the scoreboard and was like, yeesh, 5-4. I didn't see that coming. So we get the Dallas Stars. I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess we'll find out. The series goes good and quick. It's good. If it doesn't, then it was bad, right? I don't know. Either one of them, I didn't really care. The fact that Nashville lost their goalie sure made that road look easy. I guess, but the physicalness of that series could have caught up with the Flames too, so we'll see. We'll just you can't care for what you wish for, man. Just get who you get and roll with it, right? I do owe Milan Lucic an apology. The way he performed on Tuesday night and the criticisms I gave him. Yep, owe him an apology. So there it is. That's my apology. Dylan Dubé, I probably better add you to the apology list. I wasn't pretty tough on you for parts of this season, and the last month, you've been one of the better Flames. So, there you go. I'll swallow my pride and apologize to Milan Lucic and Dylan Dubé. Let's keep that success going in the playoffs. Yeah. Playoff songs. You know, I see this week in Calgary, we got Smooth Like Sutter, which is clever, cool. I'm not against it. But don't you have to wait till the second round to start letting that stuff out? Well, we're getting a little premature here, guys. I don't know. I think we're getting a little bit of premature. Let's fire that stuff out for the second round, right? Let's get over this big hump for the Flames. This team's got to get by that first round. It's going to be a fun show today. It's playoffs. Time to really, really bear down and have a lot of fun. On the show today, we're going to recap the three games road trip that we just got done that ended the regular season. Some positives and some negatives of that. A big win in Nashville and two very uneventful, meaningless games in Mini and Winnipeg. And then it's time to preview round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Stars, Flames, we'll talk all about that. And then we'll touch base on the ins and outs of all of the upcoming series in the Western Conference. And then our guest, a regular guest, Kyle Lewis, joins the show, and we're going to discuss this first-round matchup. And then we'll roll into some Flames news, Western Conference playoff news, and a Facebook poll on who wins round one of the Flames Stars. It's all on this episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, let's talk. Let's recap this regular season, right? Three games to talk about today since we last talked last week. Tuesday night, Calgary, Nashville, in Nashville, Music City, and this was an unbelievable hockey game. Probably the best of the season, wouldn't you guys say? I don't know. Calgary gets up 1-0, 2-2 after 2, 4-4 after regulation. Dan Vladar in net. And UC Saros. Well, UC Saros gets hurt. Riddick comes in. Let's break it down. First, Dylan Dubé scores in the first period. And then Roman Josi and Duchesne scores. So we're up 2-1 Nashville. Dubé scores late, his second of the game. We're tied going into the third period. Philip Forsberg scores in the power play. Noah Hanifin backs that one up just 2 minutes later. Philip Forsberg scores again at the 9:35 mark. Matthew Tkachuk with 1/10 of a second scores to send this one to overtime. And a game that it was full of entertainingness. Entertainingness, is that the right word? Excitement, I guess. We had Gabranson gets into a fight. The first fight a Flames guy's had in weeks. He drops the gloves. And then Tkachuk gets into a little bit. He kind of got a stick up before a face-off and hit Duchesne in the face. Duchesne proceeds to spear him, which didn't get called. He gets called a slash. The officials are like, I don't want any suspensions here. Playoffs are going to start. These two teams are probably going to meet. Let's let it go. And then Lucic fights tough guy Mark Borowiecki. And that, it was an amazing fight as Lucic just fed it to him one time over. And that ended up with a big win for Lucic. Then a few hits go back and forth. I know Rasmus Anderson gets drilled, and Lucic goes down. A late hit on Matt Duchesne sends him flying into the boards. Helmet goes flying. Just a rocking hit. Gets a two-minute penalty for that. And that was late in the game, and pretty much, I don't know how you guys felt, but I was just like, wow, that was a message sender. We're not... I mean, yes, it'd be nice to win, but if we don't win, it's not the end of the world. But we sent the right message to a team that we're probably going to be going against in the first round. So I was totally good with that. And then Matthew Tkachuk does it, scores with 0.01 seconds to go to tie the game as he slams it home past Riddick. And, then Lindholm with the clutch OT winner. Who else but Lindholm in overtime, right? Yeah. Whew, what a game. Total playoff intensity. Lucci described it as a top five game in his 1,000 career games. He was an animal. By far the best player of the night for the Flames. He was great. Anderson at his 50th point. Hanifin his 200th career point. This game was just off the charts good. And to me was that game where it's like, all right, now we're ready for playoff hockey. Now we're ready to go to the playoffs. It banded this team together even more. This team was already tight before. This just pulled them together as a final aspect and sent them on the right direction. Flames head over to Minneapolis for the next game. Lose 3-2 in overtime. Cam Talbot the winner. Markstrom did get the start this night. His 15th loss on the year, 37 wins. Kirill Kaprizov game winner. Fairly uneventful game for an overtime game. The very next night, Calgary goes to Winnipeg, and I don't know if you guys are watching this one like me. It was just like, let's just get this over with without injuries. Calgary loses 3-1 to the Winnipeg Jets. Hellebuck his 29th win. Vladar gets the loss in this one, but by no means did Vladar play bad. I thought he was very, very good. Made some really, really good saves, and Hellebuck did too, as the Flames were all over him in the first period. A really, really good goaltending battle. Vladar was very, very good in this game, and that's it. That is the Flames' regular season. A regular season that is, man, one we'll never forget. And I hope And I hope that no matter what happens in the playoffs, that we look back on this regular season fondly because, man, there was so many good moments in this regular season and one that I really hope we can build on into the playoffs and remember it in a positive way. All right, let's preview round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Calgary Flames, who ended the year 50-21-11, take on the Dallas Stars, who were 46-30-6. They get wild card one. Flames win the Pacific Division. Head-to-head this year, the Flames are 2-0-1 against the Stars. Dallas, of course, 1-2-0. Good things? The 111 points that the Flames posted this year is the most in team history since 1989. Guess what happened in 89? Yeah, we won the Stanley Cup. But nothing's guaranteed. And it doesn't really matter how good of a regular season you had. If you can't carry that over to the postseason, it's all for naught. And I hope that we can figure out a way to keep the intensity level up, keep the injuries down, and keep playing on the success this team's having. Well, how do we match up with the Dallas Stars? In regular season team stats, let's go through it. Power play, the Flames finished the year 10th in the league with a 22.9. Dallas right there, they finished 11th. So that tells me that we need to keep the Stars off the power play. A really good power play in Dallas, and they're probably saying the exact same thing in Dallas as that we can't let the Flames get on the power play. Special teams will be really, 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 really critical in this series. On the penalty kill, the Flames are ranked 6th in the league, 83.2. Dallas, 79.0, ranked 17th in the league. Goals for per game, Calgary 6th in the league, 3.55, almost a full point higher than the Dallas Stars, who this year were 2.84, 21st in the league. Goals against per game, Calgary 3rd in the league, 2.51. Good defense, good goaltending, and rock solid back checking leads to that. Dallas 14th in the league, 2.98. So I started to look at it a little bit, and I started to break down each category in this matchup. And I looked at goaltending, and I look at Markstrom versus Ottinger. And as much as I think Ottinger is a good young goalie coming up, the pairings are going to be, to start the playoffs, Markstrom with Vladar backing up and Ottinger with Wedgewood backing him up. Goalies, I think the nod goes to the Flames. Defensively, as much as Miro Heiskanen is probably the highest-end defenseman in this playoff series, I look at the Hanifin, Anderson, Shillington, Tanev, Zadorov, Stone, or Zadorov, Gabranson pairings as a stronger pairing set than we're going to see in Dallas. I give defensemen a nod to the Flames. And this sounds like I'm being biased. I'm not. I'm trying to give his honest opinions on the groups as I possibly can. Forward up front, there is a lot of veteran leadership up front for the Dallas Stars in Sagan, Ben, Pavelski, Radulov, a lot of playoff games. But I also worry a little bit about speed. Now, to counteract that, they've got Roope Hintz, who's arguably one of the faster players in the league. Guys can score like Robertson, who's had an outstanding year. Clutch players like Pavelski, who does amazing things in front of the net. Gerionov, who we learned to hate in the bubble series. There's a lot of things on the Dallas Stars team that this team's going to have to be aware of and be very cautious of. It's not going to be an easy series. I look at the Flames forwards. We have the top line in the National Hockey League with Lindholm, Kachuk, and Gaudreau. If we can get Backlund going, probably the most critical player to get going as we go into the playoffs for the Flames. Mangiapane has been really good. Toffoli, I think, is a clutch playoff performer. I don't think we need to worry there. Yarncroak will earn his worth on the third line. Coleman, arguably one of the most clutch playoff players in the league. Dubé has been rock solid, and our fourth line has been big, physical, and strong. Forward-wise, I would give Calgary the nod. We talked about the power play and the penalty kill. I give Calgary the nod on both those. So all in all, everything points to Calgary. But we still got to play these games, right? They're going to be heavy favorites going in, which we never thought we would say that at the beginning of the year, did we, Flames fans? But there's a lot of work to be done. Injuries heading in, not too much. John Klingberg's dinged up with a lower body injury for the Dallas Stars. He's day-to-day. Tyler Toffoli missed Saturday's practice. They said it was for maintenance. He looked like he got a little bit nicked in the game on Saturday night against Winnipeg. He was not even listed on the injury thing, but would be day-to-day also. Key players. Well, Calgary, I don't know how you say anybody other than Johnny Gaudreau. I was the first to criticize him, and many people were. Our guest later in the show, Kyle Lewis, defends him a little bit, and we go back and forth as you know, Kyle points out his success in the playoffs, and he has had some success. But he's also had some times where he looked like he was trying to hide from the intensity out there. And I think the guy, if he performs even at a fraction of the level we got out of him in the regular season, Johnny Gaudreau, this team's going to go a long ways. If he can handle the hard-hitting, tight competition level games of that the playoffs bring and still produce and find ways to make plays, this team's going to go a long ways. The X factor for the Dallas Stars, Tyler Seguin, who's no longer a first-line center, but a 40-goal scorer, still important part of this team and how him and Ben work together to use their experience to push this team forward. This Dallas Stars team, this is probably their last kick at the can, and let's hopefully it's a short kick if you're a Flames fan. Some news from this series. This is an unexpected opponent. I think we all had kind of mentally prepared for the Nashville Predators. But crazy things happen in this league, and the Dallas Stars land in our lap. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I could tell you positives to be able to play the Stars, and I could probably tell you some negatives. Some of the positives, I don't think this is as fast of a team. I don't think it's as deep of a team. But then I also can turn the table and say Heiskanen's world class, and I can say that that experience with Ben Seguin will be the leadership this team needs to move on past the Flames. So you can go back and forth both ways there. It's going to be some difficult travel. Dallas is a long ways from Calgary, so there's going to be some long flights. But with the way the playoffs are staggered out, a day in between for travel, it shouldn't be too terrible. Big question I think a lot of people are asking is how will Ottinger be? You don't hear a lot of people asking about how Markstrom's going to be. I think we kind of know. And let's just hope we're right on Markstrom. Ottinger, I don't know. He could be wonderful. He could be our biggest nemesis in this series. But he also could struggle with lack of experience. It'll be interesting to see. Does he have the capability to be that hot goalie, the Cam Ward that steals a series? Maybe. The pressure on him early, pucks to the net right away, traffic to the net. Flames will make it hard on him. That is for sure. Our history versus Dallas. I think all of us, Flames fans and media and everybody, still have that taste in your mouth over the series in the bubble. And how Calgary should have so many times won that series, but figured out a way to beat themselves. Now we have a much different team. Not a whole lot of the members of the team that were on that team are with the Flames anymore. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Can the Flames be more prepared than they are right now? They're going in virtually injury-free. They've ran a system solidly through 82 games that placed them in first place in the Pacific Division, a spot that nobody had them tagged. I don't think you can go into this any better than the Calgary Flames are. As for Dallas, they've been fine lately, but I don't think anybody in Dallas is saying this is a top-notch Dallas Stars team. But that's where it gets scary. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. And no series comes easy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he's back again this week. Kyle Lewis joins us. Kyle, good to have you with us.
Glad to be here as always. Thanks, Brad.
Well, it's the time of year we've been waiting for. The excitement level is over the top for me, and I know it is for you, and the nerves are there a little bit too, aren't they?
Oh, big time, yeah. I mean, yeah, more than any other year, really. I mean, it's the team has done so well. It's how do you not be nervous about being, being upset by somebody, right?
You know, I was thinking about it back in 18-19, and I don't know if I was, I mean, that wasn't that long ago, but I don't know. I don't remember being that, like, scared, but we hadn't suffered the blows that we've suffered lately. So maybe I was just stupid and arrogant that year and just thought we were going to win the first round. But this year I'm going in with a higher level of confidence in the team, but also a higher level of caution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think any Flames fan can relate to that. It kind of echoes what Daryl Sutter's been preaching all along about how the team hasn't won anything, they haven't done anything. I think he's trying to keep that humility about the team because of what happened in 18-19. That team fell flat on its face in an embarrassing fashion, right?
So, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The sentiment is widespread for sure.
So many of us went to bed on, what night was it? Thursday night, thinking we knew who we were playing.
Yep.
And woke up to a little bit of a surprise. I wasn't going to go to bed. I was going to watch that game when Nashville scores 4 goals and 5 shots, I believe, or 6 shots, I'm thinking it's 4-0. Arizona has nothing to play for. And I'm thinking there's no way that they come back in this game. And so I went to bed mentally preparing myself for a physical, tough, killer series with the Nashville Predators and woke up to about 8 million messages and tweets saying, we got the stars.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I kind of laughed at first because I was surprised, like anybody I think was. I'd even seen the theory float around that the Predators didn't want to play the Flames and they threw the game, which I always think that kind of thinking is a bit ridiculous. But I would rather play the Predators. Obviously, we know David Rittich, and he's going to be their starter with Saros out with a high ankle sprain. And the Stars, I'll just get right into it, I guess, on them. The thing that concerns me with them is they have some really good, sleepy veterans. Yeah. Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, Sagas, sneakily good player these days anyway. So I still think the Flames will be okay. I think there'd be some nerves if we played anybody in the playoff series after the way it went in 2020 in the bubble and prior to that in 19. But I would have rather had the Predators. I really would have.
I went back and forth on that. This year I tried to say to myself, don't say who you'd like to face. But deep down, I kind of wanted the Stars instead of the Predators simply because, now I'll preface this a little bit. I knew that we could probably beat the Predators, but it was going to be a physical, grueling series, and I knew we would probably come out of it with a few injuries and beaten up. Then when Saros went down, I was like, okay, we'll take them. I'm good with that. Yeah. Then we wake up and it's not that way. And we're sitting in face with a Dallas team that, I went back and forth. I originally wanted the Predators and we played the Predators on Tuesday night. It was really physical and I was kind of like, maybe we'll take the Stars. And then I was fearing the Stars in the fact that that series in the bubbles still haunts me, and just the fact that over the years it seems like Dallas has been a tough game for the Flames. So I was really, really back and forth. I don't know that it really mattered. All in all, I think the Flames are better than both those two teams, but it's going to be a tough series. It really is.
Yeah, 100%. I was thinking back on that playoff bubble series today. There's only 8 players in the Flames that were with the team then, which sounds surprising, but you immediately go to, Goodrow, Backlund, some of those guys. Monahan obviously is injured. But the one thing I forgot, and I think it had a lot to do with the team collapsing, was that Matthew Tkachuk was concussed and missed the last game or two of that series.
Two, I believe.
Yeah, and that pretty much sunk them. Now, if, God forbid that something like that was to happen again to a key player, I have a lot more faith in the depth of the Flames to overcome that.
I do too. I do. I think that's one of the strengths of this team this year is the depth, and I mean, we were blessed this year in the regular season that the injury bug wasn't a factor for this team at all. If anything, it was a factor in their success is that they didn't have many injuries. And but I also liked that when we did, a guy was able to step right in. And I think this
it was really seamless. Really seamless.
I think it's a deep team. I do. I try to look at this in a broad perspective, not just as a Flames fan, and I try to look at it, you know, as a whole. And I do. I like this roster. I like this team. And you know, are you that worried if Michael Stone comes in for a game, or you know, Adam Ruziska steps in for a game? Or I mean, I feel pretty confident.
Well, I think that's the difference. It's the system that allows people to step in so seamlessly, right? Like, I never realized how devoid of a proper style of play the Flames were until Darryl Sutter took over and then really established his style this season. I mean, last season, late back half the year, whatever it was, a month or 2 months, it was just kind of a trial, right?
Yeah.
But we saw it all the time. Connor Mackey played a few games, looked really good. Michael Stone racked up a surprising amount of points when he played. Ruziczka was really good, a little soft on the defensive side, but he's a young player. So it's just plug and play with this team, and it's super, super fun for that reason because it does, you know, if Ryan Carpenter has to come in, wins faceoffs, finishes the checks, and that's what you want in a playoff series. So the depth is worlds better than it was in 2020.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Looking at this Dallas Stars roster, what aspects of that roster I don't want to say scare you, but create some caution in how the Flames will handle and adjust to this roster?
A lot of big bodies and a lot of very experienced players. We talked a little before the show with Joe Pavelski and Jamie Benn, those two guys. Pavelski in particular had a ridiculously good season for a guy his age. You know, there's a lot of playoff games. I think Sutter actually commented on it yesterday about how Dallas had a few players that had a ridiculous amount of playoff games under their belt, more so than the whole Flames roster. Like, there's a lot more experience on that team than some people would think. So that kind of element certainly gives me a little bit of worry. But in terms of the personnel themselves, Ben, Pavelski, Radulov can be, you know, very good in the playoff series as well. And then Jake Ottinger, just I don't really have a book on him as a goalie. I haven't seen him play a lot, and I don't really think the Flames have either, so that could be a bit of an X factor as well.
You know, I think Jake Ottinger is a good goalie, I mean, but then he lacks experience. He lacks playoff experience, so that should be interesting. I look at their back end, and Miro Heiskanen's all-world. I feel like he's going to be a factor in Dallas's success. Pavelski, Robertson's have been lights out this year, scoring, and Gurionov, we learned to hate him in the bubble, and I got a feeling when this series is over, him and Radulov and maybe Jamie Benn are going to be at the top of a list of guys that we hate on the Dallas Stars.
Absolutely, and that's why that depth that we have now, and guys like, you know, the newest acquisitions from last summer, like Trevor Lewis and Blake Coleman, become so important because they're checking in two-way ability, right? So I think also in the back end, the Gabranskis and Zadorov pairing is going to see a lot of those guys, and the objective is going to be to wear them down in the corners, right? That we know he's the ice at all.
When you look at the Flames roster, some talk around Calgary lately and some worries are, you know, will Blake Coleman be better in the playoffs? What will we see from Tyler Toffoli, who's struggled lately? Where does Milan Lucic play a role in this? What are your thoughts on those three players?
Well, if Lucic can play three or four games in this series the way he played against Nashville, I'm more than happy with that.
I think he will, don't you?
I do. I fully expect him to. And, you know, we talked a little bit, too, about how you and I had both, and many Flames fans have been very critical of him. I was a big advocate of getting him some games off.
Me, too. We were on the same page on that one.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a huge part of this series. And I think the same thing about Blake Coleman and Tyler Toffoli. These guys, they've all been there before, right? Especially Coleman and Toffoli more recently. I think, you know, as much as people, I find it kind of funny in a way because a lot of guys have a lot to say about, you know, Gaudreau's lack of playoff success, but his points per game in the playoffs is actually quite good. But you're not going to win a series just on his back alone. It's those guys with the experience, you know, that two-way play that are really going to make the difference in the series. Now, I'm looking for a huge, huge series from basically the third and fourth lines.
The three guys that I kind of pinpoint, and not saying that, I mean, I do believe our Lindholm, Tkachuk, Gaudreau line is going to have to be good for us to go deep. But
yeah,
some X factors that I have on the Flames is I feel like we're going to have really good success if we have Backlund going strong, Mahjupani, and Dubé. Those three guys seem to stand out in my mind as guys that if they are playing at an elite level, we're going to be really good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And Dubé in particular, I mean, the guy's got crazy wheels and is playing with a ton of confidence right now.
He looks like a different player. He does. The last
completely, yeah,
4 weeks, he has been, as a matter of fact, I think in more than any other player, he stood out to me in this last month down the stretch. And he just, yeah, he's been super fast. He's just been making plays. He's had a confidence going to the net that I haven't seen out of him basically ever. So that gives me a lot of hope. And I feel like if we can get those guys on the right track, I think the first line, it takes some of the heat off them and allows them to really, really excel.
Yeah, big time. And that's exactly what's going to happen, because you know that whether it's Dallas or anybody else, they're going to hone in on that top line big time, and as they should.
Yeah.
But it becomes incumbent upon those other players to really provide some secondary offense and cycle the puck down low and do the things that they do well on a consistent basis. Mahjupani was a little cooler in the second half, too, and I would expect a lot better out of him. But the team is, you know, for all the thoughts and doubts and nerves that we have as fans, I mean, the team is built to win. There's no reason to believe that they can't and won't win this series.
I look at this line, and I mean, I look at the whole lineup, and I don't see a lot of weaknesses. I really don't. I feel super comfortable in net. I feel comfortable on the back end, and, you know, I was checking off the boxes of how we match up in each positional category with Dallas, and I gave us the nod on every one, and that's not just because I'm a Flames fan. I truly believe that in each of those categories, we're stronger, a stronger team, and that gives me a lot of hope as we head into this series, which I do still think is going to be a difficult series. I don't think there's an easy out in the National Hockey League anymore, and I think you know, every year we see those upsets, and also I look at a Sutter coach team. I don't think Sutter's going to let them feel like anything's going to be easy.
No, definitely not. I was actually talking to a buddy of mine that works in the league the other day, and he was saying about how Daryl is such a unique motivator, and that he really rides that line of being hard on his players, but being good to his players, right? I mean, that 2004 team that took the cup final, you know, different era, but that team had no business being there.
No.
Like, all otherworldly performances from Iginla, Kiprusoff, and largely the rest by committee, but, you know, Sutter is the reason. He's the coach to get that team there. They don't get there without him. Those Kings teams, they were much, much better teams if they played such a strong style. And that's the thing about the Flames. Like, it's gotten to the point where everybody, there's so many career years. I saw a list of them earlier that I couldn't
almost
even tell you.
Everybody. Any.
Yeah,
There's more players on the everyday roster of the Flames that there's more guys that had that didn't have, or that there's less guys that didn't have career years than there is guys that had career years. I mean, literally, the whole back end had career years.
Yeah,
Markstrom, yes. I believe Markstrom had a career year.
He did, yeah, he did. Shutouts and wins both.
Like, literally, almost everybody up front had career years. And, I mean, it's just been a perfect storm for this team. And hopefully that carries on, you know, as we head into the drop of the puck on Tuesday night. Travel.
I want to mention, yeah, too, just real quick, the guys that didn't have career years, and I'm thinking of them off the top of my head, like Backlund, Coleman, they were right where they should have been anyway.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know, the only underachiever really was Monahan. He could have been dealing with that hip injury longer than we knew, right? He was on the fourth line a lot.
He's the only guy that wasn't meeting at least his expectations.
Yep, exactly. Unbelievable.
I don't think there's another team in the league that can say that, is there? I don't even think Colorado can say that. Maybe Florida.
Yeah, well, Florida had a lot of, I mean, Huberto for sure, and then they had a lot of young players who really hit their stride. Sam Bennett had a, you know, a really good season. But yeah, I don't think that there is. Certainly not with the same amount. I mean, some teams had great, great years across their roster, but nothing like the Flames have.
Gosh, it's crazy. Your thoughts on our power play and our penalty kill as we head into the postseason?
I like them both. The second unit, I found been a lot better in recent weeks. Not a great amount in terms of results, but just better puck movement, better zone time, like hold the puck onto it longer. The top unit, pretty damn good all year, and penalty kill. I mean, I have all the faith in the world that penalty kill. I mean, it's just super tough, block shots, clear pucks. And the thing I like is it's not a fire drill, right? These other coaches we had seem to be when the puck got on their stick, you know, quick look up and they dump the puck.
Yeah.
You know, Sutter system, you know, the coaching staff in general, like the guys hang on to the puck as long as they can before they let it go. They're killing an extra 5-6 seconds for possession, and I love watching that.
It does. It seems like we're a lot more patient this year with the puck. Not just defensively, but even offensively. It just seems like Sutter has instilled in them that, like, you can't just throw it out, you know, just hastily throw the puck. You have to, you know, absorb and take the hit and make the right play. And I think that's also been another key to why this team has been so successful this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't see where they were, both those teams landed, like, at the end of the season, but I know they were both ranked, like, quite high.
They were both, I believe, in the top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe penalty kill was 11. It was right up in that area, but no, it almost had to be. Let me see if I have it right here. Power play, we were 10th. Penalty kill, we were 6th.
Yeah, so those are the general rule of thumb. Seems to be you got to be top 15 in special teams, and that's pretty damn good rankings.
Now Dallas's power play is 11th, and their penalty kill is 17th.
Yep.
Now their goals for per game is 21st, though, and we were 6th. So that's
a big difference.
That's a big difference in that category. Will travel. Now Dallas is just not right around the corner. Will travel play a factor in this series?
Well, it's certainly what makes home ice advantage, you know, so much more important. I mean, the Flames were in Winnipeg, so they're already fairly close to home as it is.
Yeah.
And then starting Tuesday night. So I think the home ice advantage in a series against Dallas is a lot more important. They got to make hay with these first two games. I mean, you don't want to go back to Dallas to split, which, you know, is obvious, but I think that will mitigate the travel factor big time.
Yeah. Me and you talked a lot about Jacob Markstrom down the stretch, and was the rest he was given appropriate? He basically only played one of the final four games. Did you feel like the way he was managed down that final week and a half was what you would have done?
Yeah, 100%. I would have liked to have seen it begin a little bit sooner, but I mean, obviously there was the division to win. And I also understand Sutter's mentality, not taking his foot off the gas, right? But the last week he handled it perfectly. I didn't care for the stretches in the season where Markstrom would play both of back-to-back. I really didn't feel that was necessary at all. It drove me crazy, quite frankly.
I didn't think it was necessary either, because it's not like we were putting in a scrub. I mean, Vladar's, he's another guy that was above expectations this year, all year, and I thought he was really, really good. So
yeah, he was great. I really liked the game that Markstrom sat out altogether where they dressed Wolf as a backup.
Yeah.
That just moved to get him around, you know, the big club ahead of the playoffs. Again, in case of any injury, you know, you get your black aces, whatever. Like, and Stockton should have a hell of a run in the AHL, too. Like, that's a great, great team. But I really like the idea of getting these guys around the team, and just that night they took Markstrom out altogether, I thought that was the right move.
I did too. I thought he handled it down the stretch good, and I just think this team should be fairly fresh. I know Gabranson's maybe dealing with some slight injury, and I know Tyler Toffoli sat out of practice the other day, so he might be either maintenance or just nicked a little bit. He looked like he was injured slightly in the third period against Winnipeg the other night. So hopefully, and all in all, I think you'd have to say the Flames are going into this pretty healthy.
Oh, 100%, and they had been, you know, most of the year. I think you're right. There's probably a couple little nicks and bruises here and there, and a couple guys got some rest in that last game, but I would suspect that that's all it is. I mean, the compulsion seems to be to hire or to rest your star players, but I found that Sutter was smart in managing the guys that get a ton of wear and tear on them, right?
Yeah.
And again, that's why I wish, you know, Lucic had sat a game or two, but at the same time, after seeing the way he played Nashville, it's like, do you really want to rest that guy? Kind of on a roll, like just keep him going, right?
That was one of the most amazing hockey games that I've watched. That was just an unbelievable hockey game. And I think, don't you think like games like that even pull a team closer together? I would consider the Flames a pretty tight-knit group, but those type of games really even pull that team together even closer.
Oh, big time. Big time. Well, Lucic even said he's played over 1,000 games. That was one of his top 10 ever.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. That's, yeah, there was the Gabranson fight, the Lucic fight, the Lucic hit on Duchene, Tkachuk and Duchene. I mean, that game had everything you wanted, and it was a really, like you just said, a really kind of like a galvanizing game just ahead of the playoffs. Not that the group needed it, but it sure can't hurt.
No, that's for sure. Let's turn our attention a little bit here before I let you get on with your evening to the Western Conference. And let's talk a little bit about each matchup. And I kind of want to pick your brain on who you think is going to come out of each matchup. Edmonton, our biggest rival, goes on to take the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. Where do you see that series going?
I think Edmonton takes it, but I think it's going to be in seven.
Do you?
And I'll tell you part of the reason why. With Dustin Brown retiring, Kings' long, long-time captain, that team is going to be some motivated to give him a decent run on his way out the door.
Yep.
There's still a lot of experience on that team, too.
There's a lot of experience on that team, and there's a lot of good youth meshed in with it. And that team is, we kind of wrote them off a couple weeks ago when injuries started to plague them and Doughty went out, and it was like, man, how's this team going to react? And they reacted really, really well and held serve and made the playoffs. As far as Edmonton goes, I would be worried more about what kind of goaltenders are you going to get in the playoffs?
Absolutely. And it sounds funny because you're talking about 2019, and the only reason Calgary even won a game against Colorado was Mike Smith, but too erratic for me. I don't know that I could trust him, and I could say the same thing in Koskinen. Yeah. But even then, that the Oilers team just, you know, they haven't got it done before. They had a decent run with Cam Talbot in that a few years ago. But I think they get by the Kings, but I think that series is going to take a lot out of them.
Colorado and Nashville. Nashville, a physical team. Colorado can do it all. They can score. They can also play physical. That's going to be another good series. And does Colorado get this done quickly?
Yeah, I think five games. And I hate to say it because I'd love to see David Rittich go on a bit of a tear in the playoffs just to, you know, upset Colorado and kind of establish himself. But that's losing UC Saros. I mean, that was going to be a Colorado series in five or six anyway, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Without Saros, I mean, even with Roman Josi having just an insanely good season, Matt Duchene had a really good year. Maybe it goes like Columbus Tampa a few years ago, somehow, some way, because that made no sense either. But I have a really hard time believing that series goes beyond five games. I think Colorado's just going to ragdoll them.
I agree. I think Colorado's just going to take it to them. And I don't think, as much as I'm cheering for Big Save Dave, I don't think anybody has any confidence in him. And that's sad. And it's tough to win a series without confidence in your goaltender.
Now, yeah, and he's a very emotional guy, right? And that's the big thing with him. I mean, he's a very, very good goaltender when he's on. But, you know, all the times that the Flames fans would love, you know, his reaction to the shootout and the fist pump and all that kind of stuff, that there's a bad side to that, right?
Yep.
You let in the goal early and he's rattled and you can see it in his play. So
I still think that he hung around Mike Smith too much.
That's a great point. I never really thought of that, but I think you're, yeah. I think you're bang on with that.
I think it ruined him, man. He was more stable The longer he was with Smith, he was more outlandish in the crease and in people's faces and the stick flip and all these things. And those are things we would see from Mike Smith on an everyday basis. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just think he learned some bad habits from Mike Smith.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Final matchup in the Western Conference, Minnesota-St. Louis. I think this series is going to be probably the best series in the first round of the playoffs this year. What are your thoughts on this one?
Couldn't agree more. I think the teams are very evenly matched. I'm going to say Minnesota in seven. And you can ask, I think, anybody at all, and that's the hardest series to predict. I don't see how that one doesn't go seven. I mean, that is going to be a fantastic playoff series.
I will be shocked if it doesn't go seven, because it is so – they're on paper and just even against each other this year. It was just – so equal. It'll be interesting. That'll be a really, really interesting series, I think.
Somebody's limping out of that series for Colorado, and I mean limping.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I hope that LA can create some issues with Edmonton so that they're limping too. But
yeah, you and me both.
We'll see, because I think if all stars align the way we want them to, we're in line for a Battle of Alberta in round two. What are your predictions on the Flames? And if you want to bow out and not predict, you want to jinx, I understand. But we're heading into this series. Starts Tuesday night. Is this a series the Flames win?
Yeah, I think Flames in six.
Okay.
Yeah. If everything goes well, I could see five, but I think it's going to be a six-game series. Dallas, I feel, is a bit underrated.
Yep.
And I would be a little worried if Calgary had it too easy in the first round, right? Because this team has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
So I think a six-game series is exactly what we're going to see.
As good as this team is, I don't think they'll make it easy on themselves. I'm not saying that in a negative way, because this team has been everything. And, I mean, we couldn't have written it out better. I literally couldn't have written out the season any better than it went. So, we really couldn't. If I would have wrote this down at the beginning of the year, you'd have been like, you're full of it. This is not going this good. But it did, and now it's a race, because nothing really matters now unless we first and foremost get by the Dallas Stars. And I do think it's going to be a difficult battle, but I agree with you. I'm predicting the Flames, and I went on a limb and said five. So you can almost guarantee it won't go five, because I'm rarely right on predictions.
Well, not many people are, right? But it's funny, you talk about the Flames season, that the best way for me to describe how good everybody in the team has been, if I load NHL 22 on my Xbox and I put it on the easiest setting, I can't achieve the stats that team achieved this year. They were that good. Maybe I'm just not a gamer anymore, no good at it. Like, it's crazy how good the team has been.
That might be the best analogy I've heard about this. That's pretty good. But it's really true. And that's really how good it was this year. And I hope and pray we get through round one, two, and three. But if we don't for some reason, I'm still going to look back at this regular season, at least with fond memories, because there was a lot of really, really fun games to watch and a lot of good nights.
Well, that's exactly it. This is by far the best Flames team that I've ever watched, especially in my adult life.
Yep.
Either way, we're going to have some great stuff to talk about at the conclusion of it all.
You're right.
But I'm really curious to see what team shows up in this series. I mean, the regular season is so different, right? And everything on paper, from video, all of it tells you the Flames are a great hockey team. But again, we have so many years of mediocrity to tell us otherwise. And this is a different team, very different personnel. But it's kind of they're going to be Dallas, but kind of need to see it to believe it sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think game one is going to be so, so telling on how this series is going to go.
Brad, I got to tell you too, I won't be there, unfortunately. I'm going to try to get there for the second round, assuming that happens. But I am so, so excited to see a red again, in a playoff game. It's been 2019, right? The last time they had a packed house for a playoff game.
I know. I mean, I already mentally prepared myself this week to just be not a good, not as good of a parent as I usually am, not as good of a worker, you know, employee as I usually am. I feel like it's going to be so hard for me to get through my days because I'm going to be thinking and working and just focusing so much on this series. And I couldn't be more excited for a playoffs than I am this year.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think we all, whether we'll admit it or not, I think everybody took it for granted, you know, the empty arenas and all that, all the stuff that came with COVID. I mean, this is super, super exciting. And I think my employers, I think, would be pretty understanding. They know how excited I am for this run. And,
yeah,
you know, it's I'm usually pretty in tune with my job, but the next few weeks it'll, yeah,
I think
my head will be elsewhere.
me too. And I think that's probably okay because it is something that we live for and really get excited for. And that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be great. I cannot wait.
Thanks for joining me again, Kyle. And I would really like to have you on again as the playoffs go, and hopefully it's a long run so we can have you on a lot. You can check out Kyle's work. He's doing some writing now for Last Word in Sports. He's got some interesting pieces out there and some in the works, and I'm sure there'll be more as the playoffs go on, but please check his work out there. I'll post a link to that also on our website. So thanks, Kyle, for joining us. I really, really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, hockey fans. Check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news. Some award nominations this week. As for the Bill Masterton Trophy, Calgary Flames have nominated Chris Tanev. That award goes to perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey. The award will be given out at the annual NHL award show. Some awards from the American Hockey League, as Dustin Wolf and Jacob Peltier were named to the American Hockey League All-Rookie Team. As that Stockton Heat, excuse me, that Stockton Heat team has been cocked, loaded, and rolling on a playoff run, and big things ahead for some of the young prospects in Calgary. Every year, the National Hockey League Players Association does an NHL poll, player poll. And this year, two Calgary Flames players were brought up on the player poll. I'll let you know how that is. The question, first question is, if you need to win one game, who is one goalie that you would have and want on your team? 37.4% of the players said Andre Vasilevsky, 13.9% said Carey Price, 6.7% said Marc-Andre Fleury, 3.5% said John Gibson, 3.1% said our Calgary Flame Jacob Markstrom, 3.1% said Jonathan Quick of the Los Angeles Kings, and 3.1% said UC Saros of the Nashville Predators. One other Flame was brought up in that player poll. Who is the best stick handler in the league? Patrick Kane got 57.3% of the votes. Connor McDavid, 22.8%. Nathan MacKinnon, 5.3%. Alexander Barkov, 2.4%. Johnny Gaudreau, 1.4%. And Austin Matthews, 1.4%. Now, we all know in Calgary that we have the top trio in the league. Probably, arguably the best first line in the National Hockey League. Some of the numbers are just unbelievable. This line and how good Matthew Tkachuk, Elias Lindholm, and Johnny Gaudreau have been this year. 40 goal seasons. It's the first time since 93-94 that the team had three 40-goal scorers. Last time was in 93-94 when Roberts, Reichel, and Theron Fleury did it. You look at the most 5-on-5 goals scored when on the ice together this season. This line was over 10 more than anybody else in the league. They had 74. In second with 61 was Matthews, Bunting, and Marner. 51 was Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson, who were meeting this week. 48, Hartman, Zuccarello, Kaprizov. This is amazing. And to top it off, This line and their plus minus was historically unbelievable. I'm going to read off this feature. Since 1986, when they started tracking this, the best plus minus in one season by a forward. In 86-87, Wayne Gretzky had plus 69. The next three are the Calgary Flames this year, as Johnny Gaudreau was plus 63, six back of Gretzky's record, Lindholm plus 60, and Matthew Tkachuk plus 56. So, since this award came, or this stat came out, and they've been tracking it, Wayne Gretzky holds the record. Three players from the Flames, all from this year, are second, third, and fourth. Mind-blowing. This season, the second-best season in franchise history. 50-21-11, 111 points. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's talk a little bit about the Western Conference playoff preview. Won't get into it too deep. Let's just run through the series. The other series in the Pacific Division will be the Edmonton Oilers, the number two rank against the number three rank, Los Angeles Kings. The Oilers did lead that series in the year 3-1. I think Edmonton will get through this series. The biggest X factor here, though, is how is their goaltending going to hold up? What type of goaltending are they going to get? That could be a huge X factor. An X factor that could have the Edmonton Oilers winning in four and could see them fall to the Los Angeles Kings. A Los Angeles Kings team that many people said, I want my team to play them in the playoffs. Careful what you wish for. They have Jonathan Quick. They have Anze Kopitar and a retiring Dustin Brown who has a lot to play. The team will be playing a lot for him. This team has the potential to beat the Oilers. In the Central Conference matchup, the number one team Colorado Avalanche take on the number two wildcard Nashville Predators in what will be a hard-hitting season. Now, surprisingly, the Nashville Predators held serve in the season series with a 3-1, two of the games going to overtime. This is going to be a good series. This really is going to be a good series. I don't think anybody's strong enough right now to take down the Colorado Avalanche, as they have everything from top-end defense play, top-end forwards. I arguably the top two players in the league with Makar and MacKinnon. Daryl Sutter said it'll be a waste of 8 days. I think it'll be a little bit more than 8 days, but it's going to be a tall task for Nashville to get past Colorado. In the other Central Division, the 2-3 matchup in the Central Division is the number two Minnesota Wild against the number three St. Louis Blues in what I think is going to be the best series in the playoffs. This thing is going to be amazing. These teams are so evenly matched. I don't know how this isn't go down as one of the better series that we're going to get to see. In the season series, though, St. Louis figured out a way to solve the Minnesota Wild, beating them 6-4, 4-3 in overtime, and 6-5 in overtime. Now, those 6-5 goals, I don't think we'll see that. I think we'll see it tightened down to maybe 4-3, 3-2s. God, I think at least their coaches would hope so. But I think that's going to be the biggest, or the best, excuse me, not the biggest, the best series of the first round. I really think that's going to be a good one. Now, this is the section of the show where we do listener questions or Facebook polls, and that's what I did this week. In my Facebook polls, probably the most biased poll I've ever done since starting this podcast 125 episodes ago. But I did it anyways, because it's the playoffs, and I just want to get a bead for what the fans are thinking. My question this week I posed to the Flames Hub and the Calgary Flames fans on Facebook, two groups you need to go be a part of. Flames talk every day. It's great. And you get to meet so many really, really cool people. My question was, round one, Western Conference, quarterfinals, your predictions. Calgary in four, Calgary in five, Calgary in six, Calgary in seven, Dallas in four, Dallas in five, Dallas in six, Dallas in seven. Let's go through it. So how many people thought Dallas would win in four? Out of 474 entrants, zero. Oh, I'd take that back. One. I had one guy. One guy thinks Dallas will sweep. One guy thinks Dallas will win in five. Five people, 1% of the voters, think Dallas will win in six. Two people thought Dallas would win in seven. A little biased. I think the odds are probably a little bit more in favor that Dallas would win this series. It's doable. It can happen. But interestingly, and probably more importantly on why I want to do this poll, is how many games do we think this series will go if you're a Flames fan? 21 people out of 474, 4% of the voters think Calgary will sweep this series in four. 46%, 218 people said Calgary will win this series in five. 216 people, 45% think Calgary will win it in six. And 2%, 10 people think Calgary will win this in seven. So everybody's got this one going five or six. Favoring Calgary. Now, on paper, that's probably what it plays out to, right? And as much as I hesitate from making predictions and shy away from it because I'm always scared I'm going to jinx my team, I'll give you my prediction. I think Calgary wins this series in five.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fan, it is that time of year, the time of year we have been waiting for. Let's roll through the schedule. As the Stanley Cup playoffs start Monday night, Calgary hits the ice Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Mountain Time at the Saddle Dome in Calgary for Game 1. Game 2 will take place Thursday night, May 5th, same time, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, Stars in Calgary at the Saddle Dome. Game 3 shifts down to Dallas. That'll take place Saturday, May 7th, 8:30 start time for that one. Game 4 will also be in Dallas. That one will be Monday night, 8:30 start time in Dallas. If necessary, Game 5 will go May 11th in Calgary. Game 6 will go back down to Dallas on Friday, May 13th. And Game 7, if necessary, would be Sunday, May 15th, as the Stars would be in Calgary. That will be interesting. The Stanley Cup playoffs are finally upon us. After a regular season that was just amazing, the playoffs are here. It's hard to even believe that it is. Next week we're back. We will discuss everything happening with the Stars Flames series. Maybe I'll have a guest hop on. It'll be tough to say. We're going to go on the flow as the playoffs go. You will get an episode once a week. You will get nightly reaction to the games with Flames Unfiltered shorts after every single game. Check out flamesunfiltered.com or Inside Edge Hockey Media Group YouTube page. You'll also check those out on all forms of social media at Flame Unfiltered. Yeah, playoffs are here. It's that time of year. Flame Stars gets going Tuesday night at the Saddle Dome. Let's get the Sea of Red rocking and rolling.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.